This is Life to Miss It.
Want to see the world from a totally different perspective?
Ready for provocative conversation?
Intriguing stories?
And inspiration?
Then don't touch that dial.
Welcome
to Talk with Francesca.
She'll give you something to talk about all week long. Now,
here's Francesca.
What if you took the time to really soak?
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talk with Francesca. I'm your host, Francesca Luca, and I am thrilled to introduce to you incredible women from all over the world who are living and leading extraordinary lives while rewriting the rules. I interview women who have a powerful story and have found her secret sauce to live a courageous life and will leave you inspired and ready to get your mojo on. Don't hesitate to send me an email about anything, whether you want a show topic to be discussed, a comment, a question, a pushback, or just to say hello to me to let me know that you're with me. My email address is info@talkwithfrancesca.com. And during commercial breaks, I encourage you to hear who makes Talk with Francesca possible. Visit them and let them know that I sent you. So we're going to dive right in because we have a lot to cover today. I have some questions for you. Do you feel uneasy about your future? Anxious about your security? Are you reacting to life and not getting the results you want? Do you continually feel like a victim? If so, you're going to want to stay with me here because we have an amazing show planned and a super successful guest who is going to give you the tools to transform your journey and change the quality of your life. All right, ready for this bio, ladies? It's a lot, and I've cut it down, but I want you to know just who we're talking to this morning. Lee Miltier has counseled and trained countless people. Her presentations are so effective that Walt Disney, AT&T, Xerox, IBM, Ford Motor Company, NASA, and Federal Express have retained her to inspire and motivate their audiences. And there are many, many more. She has shared the platform with Dr. Phil, Tony Robbins, Fred Smith from Federal Express, Brian Tracy, Jack Canfield, Deepak Chopra, and then some of them who have moved on, such as Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Og Mandino, Stephen Covey, Zig Ziglar, sorry, I can't talk this morning, author John Bradshaw, designer Diane von Furstenberg, my favorite, Ted Koppel, and Connie Chung. Also, movie stars such as Jane Seymour, Lynn Redgrave, and Marlo Thomas, along with hundreds of other celebrated speakers, authors, and celebs. So as I said, the list goes on and on, but if we kept going, we just wouldn't have time for the show, but I think you get the picture. Lee has written many, many books. I think there are 13, if I'm not mistaken, but she'll correct me if I'm wrong. She's with us here now. She is the author of Reclaim Your Magic, which we're going to discuss this morning, the real secrets to manifesting anything you want. So welcome, Lee Miltier, and thank you for being with us here today on Talk with Francesca. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very excited to talk to you. I really like your format and how you are helping women around the world. It's really fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Lee, I know that you've helped so many women break down, well, people in general, but we're talking about women here, breaking down barriers that stop them from really getting what they want. And you've pioneered so many different things. Maybe we could just start with, what is your overriding mission?
Well, my overriding mission in my life as a communicator has always been to empower people to see their own power and to see their potential, because we're only as a human race using about 5 to 15% of our natural potential, and women particularly have been hampered in using a lot of their potential because of the past programming for eons, but that programming that continues, that, you know, women aren't strong enough, they're not smart enough, they're not something enough to really be outstanding. And that programming is very, very wrong, because truly women are exceptional creatures. As a matter of fact, since this is a woman's program, there's a number of research that has come out that women access information mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually at the same time, where men access information in the world only mentally and physically. So the truth is, women are equipped to truly be fabulous at whatever they want to be fabulous at, but, you know, they're not really promoted and believed in the way that they should be.
All right, ladies. So as Lee says, woman up.
So yes, that's good.
Right? So Lee, I know that you've had a lot of disadvantages growing up. So tell us, give our audience sort of a brief overview of what it was like growing up for you and how you transformed yourself.
Well, I know you're interviewing me for my book, Reclaim the Magic, and in that book, and yes, you're right, I did write 13 books, and Reclaim the Magic, it did make a bestseller on Amazon, and I did share things in that book that I will tell you were very, very hard to share. You know, it's one thing to teach things, but another to kind of go in your past and, you know, show all the pain.
Right.
I grew up in a very tiny little place called Chucky Tuck, Virginia, which is very rural Virginia, and it was population 60 on a ranch farm, literally a mile and a half from the nearest secondary road. So I was very, very isolated. Grew up with very old-fashioned thinking people who had been ranchers and farmers for as far back as we can tell. Sadly, my father was a huge alcoholic and a rageaholic. And so there was a lot of verbal, physical abuse in my life. And the real challenge for me, though, was if you grow up on a farm or a ranch, what they want when you're born is a boy, because, you know, it's all about, you know, boys helping you. So when I was born, they were very disappointed I was female, and then proceeded to act that way for the rest of my life. And what it does is it puts such a scar on your soul of, you know, not being loved, not being appreciated. And very early on, I really had to do extraordinary things to break away from that, because it was recently written about me that I was the least likely person to ever be successful, because I grew up with no money, no contacts, and no mentoring, and really in such a difficult environment. And I know many people can appreciate that in some way today, but at some point, you have to take back your power and not be a victim. At some point, you have to just draw a line in the sand and say, okay, these bad things happened to me, and I'm sorry they happened. However, there's always a gift to all the difficulties. And the gift for me personally was I developed into this kick-ass, take-no-prisoners kind of gal because I always had to fight for myself. And at a very, very young age, mentally disassociated from the family and started seeking how to become successful, how to be independently, financially independently wealthy. So because money only represented freedom to me, it wasn't you're just trying to be wealthy, it was about freedom. And I think that's what women are truly desiring more than anything else in life, is freedom to be whoever they really are. So when I was in high school, I was a real wild child, I might add, but I became a librarian helper. And because of that, books are very sacred to me. And I read books like Think and Grow Rich at 16 years old, The Magic of Believing, Psycho-Cybernetics. I read things that the average 16-year-old wouldn't be interested in. And it paved a different road for me. It paved a road of hope and anticipation instead of victimhood and fear, because by reading these kind of books and being exposed to that and living in the library all the time, what I realized, though, that the average person who becomes super successful in life actually usually has a very difficult childhood and has to really work hard and gain that work ethic and gain how to leverage your skills and abilities. And I just learned things that I would never have learned in education or, you know, normal school or church or things like that. And I was just an entrepreneur from the get-go. So by the time I was literally 12 years old, I had 37 people working for me in the fields of Chucky Tuck, Virginia. And, you know, I will say that all of that hardship, because I really didn't have a traditional childhood, But that hardship made me a very, very successful woman today.
Well, isn't that the truth, that anything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger? I mean, how many times have we heard that, right?
Well, and, you know, that's extremely true. And today there has been a shift in energy where people are trying to take their children and just nurture them to the point that there is no conflict in their life. And that's not how the real world works.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, for every kid to get a trophy and things like that, that sounds good on paper, but in the real world, what it does is it trains kids that to expect success, whereas the real world of business is a very challenging negotiating place.
Oh, absolutely.
And you better put on your big girl panties and go out every day and deal with it. And you can't take it personally. You literally have to be a tough cookie. And so, anyway, my childhood made me a very tough cookie.
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way. Lee, I want to talk about victimhood a little bit. I think that is a problem for a lot of women. They feel victimized and they get into this quagmire of starting to feel all the time like, oh, this is happening to me and that's happening to me and why is this going wrong, and getting stuck there. So how would you speak to that?
Well, the first thing I would do, because I deal with this every day, I'm a business coach, and every single day, you know, I'm on the phone with people and they're telling me, you know, their victim stories. And I always say to them, listen to the way that you are, your internal dialogue is. You're asking yourself, why is this happening to you? Instead of a more important question, because that just makes you more of a victim. Instead of a more important question is, okay, in the past, I have definitely allowed myself to give away my power to be a victim. However, starting today, right now, this second in time where my power is, what are the questions I could ask myself? For instance, what would be a brand new solution for me to start enacting on that would prevent me from feeling and acting and having to suffer as a victim? How could I do things differently? Because you have to decide in life, are you part of the problem? Are you part of the solution? And I know that's, you know, an old saying, but it's very true that when you feel victimized, remember, you were part of the problem in some way. Maybe it was very small, but you participated in a way that you did give away your power instead of possibly speaking up in such a way that you are heard or acting in such a way that people take you more seriously. And here's the real secret. We are self-fulfilling prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
The more you think you're a victim, the more you unconsciously attract people into your life who will victimize you. And so it really is a, stand up, look, see, all success really is inside, and it's not external. Power is inside. It's not external. It's just that a lot of women believe that the power is outside of themselves. One of the books that I've written has been a huge bestseller for many years. It's called Success is an Inside Job. And there's no words ever truer spoken. All of your success in life, as a woman particularly, has to be utilized from inside and brought forth. And so it's a matter of becoming really clear how we're using our mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial energy every day. And the mental energy is you've got to pay attention and have an awareness of when you think of yourself as a victim, because it's a very dangerous road to go down to label yourself as a victim.
What would you say to a woman who has been really continually knocked down? You know, I'm thinking of a friend that I have, and we both lived in a condominium a couple of years back. And this woman, she's a remarkable woman. I will just tell you this. She got married at 20 years old. Aunt Kim, if you're listening, she just absolutely positively blows my mind. She has had so much adversity in her life. At 20, she got married. 6 months into her marriage, she found out that her husband was very, very sick. She had to basically take care of him for I don't know, I guess maybe 25 years. She was so resilient. She just is not going to stop. Then her husband passed away when I think he was maybe 47, 48 years old. A few years later, her son took his life. This woman has so much resilience, is so tough. But for many people who have been knocked down like that, they wouldn't be able to pull themselves back up. Now, I gave away a couple tickets to a ferry ride to Martha's Vineyard over the weekend, and she won them. Do you know what she did with those tickets? She said, I'm not keeping them. I'm going to give them to people who are suffering with cancer and only have so long to live. Oh, Kim, crazy. Wow, that's amazing. So I gave her two more. I said, you know what? Then I'm giving you two more because I want you and your now husband, your new husband, to go. So I think that when someone continually does get knocked down the way she has, I think it can be really challenging because then, you know, the moods, then they get depressed and then it becomes cyclical. And bless her heart that she is not one of those people, but what would you say to someone who couldn't pull themselves up, that was having a hard time doing so, and maybe not even feeling like a victim, just being really overwhelmed with being stuck in their sadness?
Well, I certainly understand that. My husband got killed on Christmas Eve a number of years ago when we were attempting to build a restaurant, and both of our lives were threatened if we continued with the restaurant from a crazy guy who owned another restaurant down the street, who actually did come to our house on Christmas Eve and kill my husband, shot him in the face. Oh. And I had a very hard time for the next year surviving that. However, with that said, you used a word that's very important, resiliency. Mm-hmm. At some point, at some point in your life, there will be bad things happen to you because that life is like that. And you do have to be resilient. And at some point, you have to give yourself a period of grief time. And then there has to be a period of recovery time. But it's a matter of, you just cannot stay down and stay there forever just because life has dealt you a bad hand, because life has dealt a lot of people very bad hands. Their children have been killed. I mean, a lot of bad things happen. You know, the old saying, life is what you make it, yep, is really true. And yep, that if you really are having a tough time in life, I know this is going to sound like a trite experiment, but for the next 30 days, if you would just get up every morning and write a list of what you're truly grateful for and shift, see, what you focus on expands. The more we focus on the bad things are happening to us, we actually energetically attract more bad things because we're actually, whether you're conscious of it or not, looking for them. And I'm not saying anybody's conscious doing that, but your unconscious does work like that. So if you did a gratitude list every single morning of, you know, oh, I have my hands and I have my eyes and I can hear and I can walk and, you know, I'm alive and, you know, I love this person and they're alive and I have a roof over my head and I have a job and whatever. Mm-hmm. Eventually, in just about 30 days, it takes about 30 days, 28 to 30 days, the mind literally will shift its focus. And the grief will lessen a little bit, and you start focusing in on also how can you be of service. You know, it's what can you do for other people? If you lose yourself in being of service to other people, I did find this for me, truthfully. To survive my husband being murdered, after about a year, I started really getting involved with being of service to other people. And you cannot feel sorry for yourself when you're helping somebody else.
That's right.
And I became very involved with animal rescue and have been for many, many years. And I spend a lot of time raising money for animal charities and animal rescue. And I will tell you, no matter how bad my day is, when I get into that part of my life where I'm of true service, where there's nothing coming back to me whatsoever other than the pleasure of helping, I don't remember my problems because this cause is so much bigger than my problems.
And Lee, I just want to mention that when you were talking about gratitude, I think that it is it is key, because it is very hard to be grateful and unhappy at the same time. So I actually use that. If I start to feel down about something, that's the first thing I do is say, you know what? What am I grateful for? And there's a lot. There's a lot for me to be grateful for. If you're just tuning in this morning, you're listening to Talk with Francesca, we're talking to Lee Miltier, who is talking to us about success being an inside job, which happens to also be the name of one of her 13 books that she's written. We are discussing her book today, the newest one. She's the author of Reclaim the Magic, The Real Secrets to Manifesting Anything You Want. So Lee, let's shift into talking about creating our own magic. I mean, we are kind of going in that direction anyway, but I love the word. Yet I have to say, when I think of the word magic, I think of fairy tales, and I don't see you as a fairy tale kind of woman. You know, wanting and wishing won't bring the good fairy to you. So I'm curious why you used that word in your book, Reclaim the Magic.
Well, that is your label of magic. My label of magic is very different. It isn't about fairy tales at all. I believe that each and every one of us daily has the ability to get into what I call the zone, which is kind of the magical zone. This is where you're creative and wonderful ideas come to you and you feel surges of energy. It's a connection to the invisible world. It's a connection to spirit. The truth in life is that most people don't understand life, and they think that everything is physical. But you have five types of energy. You have mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial. And so Reclaim the Magic was really about going into universal principles, about how to truly take charge of your life and utilize your energy currents, your life currency in a way that you can manifest and in some ways manipulate energy. Because everybody manipulates energy all day long, and some people call that magic. I'm not a magician by any stretch of the imagination. I am, however, a great manifester. And so there are universal secrets that have been passed down in many traditions that are not taught in any kind of public school educations or mainly churches. And I have had the opportunity to study with some very serious masters in life to learn things that average people don't know, which has benefited me as a woman tremendously. As you say, with my bio is very long. That wasn't an accident that my bio is very long. It's actually very, very deliberate and very thought out and very sought after. And so the magic of life really is getting life to work for you and finance your life better instead of you financing your life only with your physical energy.
So when you say finance your life, you're not talking money. You're talking about the sort of the energy, the currency of energy. Is that right? Is that what you're talking about?
That is correct. Yeah. And so, yes, because it really depends on people's outlook and perception of life. And I've just learned, and which I shared in my book, Reclaim the Magic. And by the way, the subtitle, The Real Secrets of Manifesting Anything You Want. I have spent over 25 years in the corporate world and the entrepreneurial world, being one of the top female speakers in the United States for a long time, touring around, and I interview people. And I have a program called Millionaire Smarts, just a coaching program. So I've got to interview some of the top people on earth. And the distinction about those people specifically were that they used information that was not taught in educational systems that to get successful, that education can only take you so far. There are other major secrets to getting ahead.
And you're going to share those with us, right? Like starting with listening to your gut. I love that one.
Well, I talk about intuition a great deal in my book because, oh, by the way, women are naturally intuitive if you give yourself permission to be. However, I will also say that men are naturally intuitive. It's just that they program themselves not to be for the most part. I have this thing called your head, heart, gut, checkup, meaning that before you invest money with someone, before you do something that you're not quite sure about, that you actually take time not to react to a situation, but that you actually feel the energy currency of it. So is the person that you're working with of a high integrity? Is the person that you may buy something from, you know, what really is their intentions? So there's a lot of hidden illusions on Earth. We read about this in the newspaper all the time about con artists and, you know, people who are, you know, shady and not, you know, high integrity people. And you read these sad stories about how people have been taken in.
Right.
However, someone who's truly in tune with their intuition and truly in tune with their instincts would have red flags, or they would have an uncomfortable feeling in their gut, or their brain would go, I'm not so sure about that. That doesn't feel right.
Do you think more there is more natural for some people than for others?
Yes, I do.
Because I feel like I have a great deal of intuition, and I feel like I can see, I can just sniff out, you know, it's like red flags. I see them coming when they're there. It's just, they're in my face and I know it. But sometimes I'm shocked by some of the red flags that might be presented to a friend and won't even notice. So how can you miss that? How can you not see that? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it surprises me. That's all.
I love that you sniffed it out, because the truth is the nose is a very important aspect of intuition. So I'm glad you actually said that. You sniffed it out. I can sense a con artist. I can feel them. There's a lot of reasons that can happen. One, if you've been taken advantage of, you know, just the law of averages, you'll start to pay more attention. But I think that some people just don't, they only believe what you can see. In other words, unless I can see it, unless you can prove it to me with my left brain, unless there's scientific, you know, proof, then, you know, my mind is closed to other avenues of intellect. So, like, emotional intelligence is very different from intellectual intelligence. And people who have high emotional intelligence also tend to be very intuitive, because they pay attention. And if you really look at the last 100 years of our life, people throughout history have always used their instincts. So I grew up on very large land that was being farmed and also had animals on it. And I will tell you that from a very small child, I was very taught to pay attention to all intuitive hits about the weather, about the health of animals, about timing, that I used to, as young as like 9 or 10 years old, ride my horses 25 miles away from my house. And my father's main message to me all the time was, be on alert. Don't relax. Pay attention. You know, your life is on the line when you go out into these woods by yourself. You have to know, you know, pay attention to the horse. If the horse starts reacting in a strange way, you must be aware of that. So in my seminars and everything that I do, I really do help people just awaken to this ability that they have. And the greatest thing to improve your intuition is to just start using it. So, just play games. You're standing in front of a group of elevators. What's your guess, which one is coming next? The phone rings without looking at the caller ID. Try to guess who might be calling. Just start playing with that and see what your ratio is.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you really get in tune with your intuition, you'll make better investments, you'll have better business partners, you won't be chasing down rabbit holes quite so much, because you're connected to the big super consciousness.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, a big map to everything.
Yep. Lee, you talk a lot about visualization, and I love that you quoted Helen Keller in one of your TV shows, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." We do need to take a short break, but when we come back, I would love to spend some time talking about visualization and how creating our thoughts create our life. So stay with us here. You're listening to Talk with Francesca. I'm talking to Lee Miltier. We will be right back after this short break.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience and, as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pastas without compare. And it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
Tides is beachside dining at its best all year round. Located at the end of the Nahant Causeway, directly on Nahant Beach, the ocean views from the dining room and the pub can't be beat, no matter what the season. Nominated for Best of the North Shore from North Shore Magazine for Best Alfresco Dining, Best Kid-Friendly Restaurant, Best Lobster Dinner, and Best Water View. Why would you go anywhere else? Whether you choose their dining room, a frosty pint at their bar, or a sun-drenched deck on Nahant Beach, they guarantee you great atmosphere with super food and service. Their menu is full of fresh, high-quality seafood, prime rib, chicken, pasta, and pizza that everyone will love. Check out their drink menu for fun cocktails, 30 ice-cold beers on tap, and their well-rounded wine list with their state-of-the-art tap wines. They feature full-service lottery and keno. Tides is the place to watch any big game. They have over 20 HD TVs. At Tides, they specialize in casual dining with food that's just delicious, not pretentious. Tides is a fantastic restaurant anytime, summer or winter, lunch or dinner, rain or shine.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Talk with Francesca, and I'm speaking to Lee Miltier. She is the author of, 13 books, but we're discussing the book Reclaim the Magic, The Real Secrets to Manifesting Anything You Want this morning. So welcome back, Lee.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
So, Lee, we put so many limits on ourselves. And, you know, if we could picture what we want and create better thoughts, I all of us would have better lives. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. Visualization is something everybody does. Most people do it as daydreaming, and I will tell you daydreaming isn't all that effective to create your future. But I need to give you a little bit of brain chemistry on why visualization works. It's called many things. It's called mental rehearsal. It's called visualization. You know, people call it, a lot of different things. But the truth is, whatever we think, good or bad, right or wrong, true or false, imprints a 4 volts of electrical chemical current on our brain. That current actually imprints something on our brain that is translated into a picture. The subconscious mind, so we have our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. The subconscious mind does not know the difference between an imaginary event and the real thing. And so it's very important to understand that we've been programmed by the outside world tremendously, particularly women, of what we're capable of. And so to break through those barriers, one of the things that I learned at 16 was to imagine myself enacting on certain things that I wanted to do, that I could physically practice them, but that I would actually have a better chance of success, whether it's sports or grades or, you know, asking for a job, asking for a raise, difficulties, conflict, anything, if I imagine myself doing it first, because then you can work out all the details in your mind. And I want to share with you that researchers at Stanford University, Yale, and Harvard conducted a study of high-powered executives to see if the technique of mental visualization was truly beneficial. And what they found that there was a shared trait among superachievers was the ability to sense what they wanted before they got it. So these superachievers have the ability to translate their ideas or goals into actual physical visions. So basically what they do is create pictures of what they want down to the smallest detail. They know exactly what they want. They can see it, taste it, smell it, feel it, imagine the emotions. And their sharp sensory vision allows them to pre-live their goals before they become realized. And when they did this, their performance was improved at any level, at any time. So, for instance, I lost 27 pounds 6 months ago, and part of that was, I have a program called Habit Busting, but what you do is you visualize the weight and the size you want to be before you start the exercise program, before you start the diet program. Therefore, you're gearing your brain to be on the same page as your intentions, and you're seeing yourself as the size you want to be, you know, the weight on the scale, whatever. I have quit smoking. I have become a great speaker. I have become an author. I basically use visualization as a preview of what my upcoming life attractions are going to be. And I recommend everybody think about three things you truly want in life in the next 6 months. Just three, no more than three. And when you wake up in the morning, think of your brain as a TV set, and it's got only three channels. And spend about 60 to 90 seconds on per channel on something that you want, but only see the end result and see exactly what you want. Now, caveat here, I'm 5'6". I wanted to be 5'9". I can visualize myself to be 5'9" all day long. I'm probably going to still be 5'6". However, I am only using my visualization process on things that are actually relevant and controllable by me. So, for example, when you, I knew you were calling today, and I was very excited about you interviewing me, and just for like 2 minutes, I just sat down and I visualized at the end of the interview me smiling and both of us very happy, and it went very well, and there were no technical problems, and, you know, just the whole interview went fantastic. Now, what that really does, if you think about this, it not only is sending an intention into the world, but it is also giving you a vision that your brain is now, you've given it a destination to go towards. So it stops seeing the other thousands and thousands and thousands of other things that are around you and starts to focus on specifically what it is you wish to accomplish in your life.
So let me
Go ahead.
You know, there's so many women that are single that listen to this show. They're, you know, in, they're a little bit older, in their 40s, 50s, and they're either divorced or widowed, and they're all doing the online thing, and so many of them are so disappointed, you know, and they've got. You know, they've got so much in their head now, this self-judgment, what's wrong with me? It's a critical voice, and you know, they're fearful of going back because they don't want to have more bad dates. So then they procrastinate and they blame themselves, so on and so forth. So, and I've heard so much of this in the past couple of years. So I'm thinking, what would you recommend to those women, how they can actually visualize, change their thoughts, and really put it out there so that they will meet somebody? How would you recommend?
Okay, I'm happy to do that, but let me tell you the real challenge with that, with the women who are disappointed in dating. Okay, so this is we could do an entire whole day on this show, but
we probably should.
Okay, and just call me. We'll think about it. Okay, so all you gals who are online, okay, there's a lot of little mixture of things that are happening here. So we're just going to try to make this as compact as possible. However, one of them is once you've had a bad experience, that has colored your view of life, and there's a part of you expecting this to continue. And so you keep dipping your toe into the internet dating pool and keep coming up with frogs. And so now energetically, what you focus on expands. So you keep focusing in on, oh my gosh, this is horrible and this sucks and why should I have to do this? And, you know, I remember when they came out years ago and said that this horrible study, which was bogus, by the way, that said a woman was more likely to be struck by lightning than to get married after 40 or some unbelievable bullshit like that. Okay.
Oh my gosh,
forgive my French. So I remember laughing because that's just such utter nonsense. Here's the thing. So part of it is our expectations to meet Prince Charming. And so, you know, when you don't get what you want, you start, you know, seeing the negative of it. I recommend that you neutralize yourself. You see, energetically, if you're focusing in that, you know, this is not working for me, you're actually attracting more of it not working for you. So if you just become neutral and just say, I'm going to have a fantastic life, whether I meet someone or not, that is when you relax and you actually can attract the best persons to yourself.
Couldn't agree with you more. And
women won't talk about that because they keep wanting to push the blame on the men or the blame on the current situation of we meet men now through the internet. And, you know, they make everything wrong. You will not find what you want in life making the outside world wrong. If you wish to attract the man of your dreams, you have to become the woman that would attract that. And the woman to attract that is excited, happy about life, fully engaged with herself, and independent. She, you know, if a man comes in and shares her life with her, that's fantastic. But if it doesn't, that's fantastic. That's always where all the women I know in my life have met the man that, you know, that you want to go through your life with. And so, but you can visualize yourself in a happy relationship. Just don't paint him to be, you know, this, you know,
he must be wearing a navy blue blazer. He must be.
Yeah.
He must have a beard.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that women used to do all the time is, you know, the old wives' tales of write a list of everything you want. Well, the lists that women write are unsustainable is all I could say. Unsustainable.
Absolutely. I hear you.
How about writing a list of, you know, I'm going to meet someone who is very compatible with me, who cherishes me and loves me and is honest and has high integrity and is genuine and is great laughter and, yep. You know, we have a great life together.
Yep. You know, I went to a conference last spring, and it was interesting. This woman was talking about the late Wayne Dyer and how it was something that he had said, someone had said, what is it like to live here? And the person said, I'm trying to remember the whole thing. Basically, the gist of it is how you believe or what you believe about where you live is basically pretty much the way it is. Someone had said, you know, what's it like to live here? Well, it's, you know, I really don't like it. Well, then that's pretty much the way it's going to be. And then the same thing. How do you feel? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm doing a terrible job explaining this.
No, I know.
But the whole thing is the way you think about anything is really the way it is. So if you think it's a horrible place, this little town, I know, I'm remembering now. I should have thought more about the story. Someone was thinking about moving in. What do you think about what's it like here? In the last place I lived, it was really pretty horrible. And then the guy said, well, then you know what? It's probably going to be pretty horrible here. The next person said the same thing. You know, what's it like to live here? I loved where I lived in the last place. You know what? You're probably going to love living here too. So that was a convoluted kind of around the bend way of telling this story, but I knew it would all come to me eventually.
The bottom line is, you know, people move away often to what they want to be a better place, but they can't move away from themselves.
Right.
And I had the pleasure of knowing Wayne Dyer and speaking on stage with him a few times, and I just adored him. And I remember him telling a story like this, and it's very, very true. So, ladies,
it's probably the same story, right?
It is the same story.
Yeah.
Yes, it is the same story.
Well, you could probably explain it a whole lot better to the listeners than I just did, but but I think that we got the point.
Yes, and so I think that the main thing is that, you know, if you're critical of the external world, and whatever you're critical of, remember, is a mirror to yourself.
Yep.
So it's all about cleaning up the inside, cleaning up your mindset, cleaning up your attitude, and have a observer be an objective observer of life. Instead of being judgmental all the time, just observe. And then, you know, instead of criticizing it, just say things like, well, that's fascinating. and be a person who is curious and open-minded and willing to try new things and willing to have an adventure. Your life will change dramatically instead of being a very closed-minded, narrow-focused, it's got to be just this way. Life has galloped away from that kind of mindset.
I think that curiosity, I think you're absolutely right. I think curiosity is a great word because, you know, we all can be guilty of, you know, listening to someone and next thing you know, there's a judgment inside our heads. And what I try to do myself when I find that happening is pull back and get curious, like, I wonder what it is that is making that person believe X, Y, and Z, or think this way, or be, or this behavior, act in this way with this bad behavior, rather than it be about what a jerk, or this person doesn't know what they're doing. I try very hard to really stay in that mindset of curiosity, because I think when we're curious, it expands us. It opens us up to learn more and to experience loving that person and really opening up to love. And so often when we do that, that's, I think, when we really do find out that there's a darn good reason someone is behaving a certain way.
Well, I agree with that. And I think the last political experience we had where there was so much diversion and unhappiness, which is continuing, sadly.
Yes.
The worst, people showed their worst. And, you know, it's now time, I believe, to just allow yourself to heal from the past, no matter what it is, no matter what you've been, no matter how you've been victimized in the past, and just make a really conscious decision. At the end of every presentation, I always share this one line, and I think it's very important here. Your point of power in this lifetime is this very minute. It's not yesterday, and it's not tomorrow. It's right now. Your power is right now. And stop postponing whatever it is you want in life. And the other misconception I believe that most people have in life is, you know, life will get better in the future. Well, only if you do something to make it get better in the future.
Right.
You know, it's always, if it's up to me, if it is to be, it is up to me. And if women would take more of a assertive role in making sure that they have self-care, that they are nurturing themselves, that they are listening to their own intuition, and then asking for what they want in an appropriate manner, life changes deliciously. I do know that a lot of women are programmed to think that life should just be given to them. Mm-hmm. And that's bad parenting, because life is what you make it. Life, you can have a life of victimhood, or you can have a life of being whatever it is you wish to be, and no one stops you but you.
And it's no secret that circumstances, they don't make the person, but it's their reaction to it, right?
We're definitely always on the same page here. Yes. There are things that have happened in everybody's life that you wish would happen differently. However, it's a learning experience, and every time you learn something, you have more tools in your tool chest to use. And I just cannot stress to women enough how important it is that you do some soul searching. And what is it that you really truly want? What will make you happy? And go for it.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple questions from Facebook, by the way. So I just want to, before the show ends, I want to get those in. So do we have time for you to answer a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Linda S. from Quincy says, "Hi Lee, my life is one massive to-do list and I'm exhausted, yet I feel like I just can't stop. If I take time for myself, I end up compromising something important like my kid's soccer game, a dinner date with my husband, or just keeping our home in order. I work full-time and have two children. I'm 45 and exhausted. Help."
Well, you know, gosh, how many millions of women could have written that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We all feel that way, and our circumstances are different. So the real, I mean, nobody likes this answer, by the way. I'm going to give it to you. It's you have got to learn to simplify your life. You have got to learn to say no to things that are not priorities so that there is room for the priorities. And secondly, we have to get over this guilt that if we miss a soccer practice, it's the end of the world for our children's lives. That is not true.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of bad stuff that the world programs poor women. We're supposed to be all things to all people. That's not possible in today's world and work a full-time job. So, you know, everybody has to chip in. And I always tell women that be careful how you verbalize things around your house. If you say to your husband, oh, I need you to help me in the yard to clean it up, what you're saying to that man is, it's my responsibility to do the yard. Would you please, please help me?
Right.
Instead of, our yard needs cleaning up. Let's make a plan together.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. You know, Ali, I'm thinking that, you know, one of the things that women feel guilty a lot, and what I notice is that they create a lot of chaos and drama in their lives. And I think it's a way of trying to sidestep those feelings of guilt. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's very profound on your part. And here's something that, as you can tell, I'm a little controversial, that I don't just follow the white bread stream of life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm more of a multi-grain kind of gal.
Yeah, at least.
The truth is, whenever guilt is a man-made control mechanism. It was created by the church, many churches, to control people's attitudes and behaviors. The government tries to make you feel guilty. Your mother, sadly, has used it as a control mechanism. But guilt is a useless emotion. It really doesn't serve you at all to feel guilty that you missed somebody's soccer practice one time. As an abused child, I will tell you, nobody ever showed up for anything for me, and I'm alive and well and kicking very well. And I have no expectations that people sacrifice their life for me, because that's a very unrealistic expectation that people are going to always show up. You have to, you know, be in a place where when you start to feel guilty, you got to go, why am I feeling guilty? I mean, am I, you know, mass murdering people? Am I, you know, stealing from the country? I mean, if I'm not doing anything really wrong, this is an old virus in my head that is triggered by if I feel, God forbid, I'm going to let somebody down.
Oh, here's a question about guilt. Here's another one. Angie from Newburyport says, my relationship with my best friend has changed so much in the past few years. She will always be my best friend, but I'm on a path where I believe the five people that I spend the most time with shape who I am. Oh, good for you, Anne, for thinking that. Her beliefs are not in line with mine anymore, but I feel guilty about leaving the friendship behind after 25 years. Any suggestions?
Well, congratulations, because, my joke these days are, if you have friends that are really, you know, have been with you a long time, I mean, congratulations, but life is not like that. Mm-hmm. Life is about people growing in different stages, and I also suffered a friendship that was just, you know, the horse was dead, it was dust.
Yep.
I had nothing more in common with this woman, but we continuously suffered to get together for lunch. Finally, what I just started doing was I gently, and never confronted her about it, but I gently just was always really busy, and I just stopped having lunch. And I, you know, I still sent her a Christmas card and a birthday card a year, but I just gently released her from my life. And you know what? There was no pushback from that whatsoever, because on some level she knew that our lives had gotten to that, you know, place that I love her, I will always love her, but I don't necessarily want to hang out with her anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, there's friendships and there are friendships. And, you know, I'm always, you know, I look at people who have been friends with someone since second grade, and I think that's wonderful. I'm not in those shoes. I moved around quite a bit growing up, so did not have that. But, you know, frankly, I'm not sure that if I did still know my friend from second grade, we'd really have anything in common. I have been one in my life has constantly shed skin, growing more and more and more. And I want to keep growing, and I want to be with that kind of a person. So I'm not so sure that I think it's, like I said, it's great if you can maintain friendships and find the good in all the relationships that you have and you don't see any reason to end them, well, then don't. But I think it's really okay to say, you know what, we had a great friendship for a time. And you don't even need to use the words. I think that organically, people who shouldn't be friends anymore aren't. I think that they just slowly but surely separate. We have time for one more question. Janelle P. from Hull says, my mother always acted like a victim. I swore I would never, in all caps, be that way. Yet I find myself more and more in that role. I've been in therapy for a year and I'm not getting anywhere. If anything, I'm acting more victimized every day and knowing that I think it is everyone else's fault, yet can't seem to stop the merry-go-round.
Okay, well, people aren't going to like this, but, you know, I sometimes have a challenge with therapy because some therapists, not all, but some therapists just want to dig up the past and just go over it and over it and tell me why your mother didn't love you and tell me blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And there's something you got to remember. Write this down. What you focus on expands. So if you focus on a victimhood thing, then it's going to expand in your life because that's how the brain operates. That's just chemistry. And so it would be, instead of her focusing on I'm a victim and I promise I might never be that, identify the clear areas you're acting like a victim right now, and then make a plan of action that the next time you're in that situation, you have a new script book to go by.
I love that, a script book.
Yes, a script book.
That's fantastic.
I have a number of verbal scripts that I use for different situations that I have perfected that gets me out of entanglements with people. For example, if somebody's very rude to me and I'm seeking to find out why, I will say this phrase to them. Excuse me, have I said or done something to offend you?
That's fantastic.
And what that does is throw the energy on the other person to now explain why they've been a jackass.
Lee Miltier, reclaim the magic, the real secrets of manifesting anything you want. Thank you so much for being on Talk with Francesca this morning. Real quickly, you have a giveaway for our listeners. I want to make sure that we get that in. Where can they go for that?
Okay, so the giveaway is a $97 video series. It's called FiveTypesOfEnergy.com, and there are five short videos on mental energy, physical energy, emotional energy, financial energy, and spiritual energy. And what these small videos will do will help you understand how you're using and financing your daily life currency and how to take that back so you have more available energy for the creative things that you want or the money things that you want or the romance things that you want. So if you just go to and spell out the word five, F-I-V-E, types, T-Y-P-E-S, of, O-V, energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y.com, fivetypesofenergy.com.
Oh, thanks, Lee, so much for being with us this morning. It's been a pleasure. Have a great week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Make it a great week. Don't try.